privilege, and we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your family this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, hallelujah, that the Holy Spirit will unveil and unfold the Word of God unto our spirits. We give you all of the glory for all the awesome information, revelation, and impartation that your Word and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will bring into our lives. May this be a day of transformation that will never be the same after today. In Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. All right, so we're talking about move. Everybody say move. So move, we're talking today specifically about moving from fright to fight. Move from fright, F-R-I-G-H-T, to fight. In John chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 27, the Bible tells us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. In other words, he says, trust my Father God, your Father God, and trust me, your Lord. So right now, you got to do that. You got to make sure you're practicing that every day. And you got to make sure that you're not allowing your heart to be troubled. And see, fright, or we would say fear, makes your heart troubled. Verse 27 says, I'm leaving you the gift of peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't expect it from the world. So don't be troubled or afraid. What is Jesus telling us not to be? Troubled or what? Afraid. In other words, don't be in fright. John chapter 14, verse 27 in the Amplified Classic says it this way. Peace I leave with you. My own peace. Now Jesus' peace. Now I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Listen to this. Neither let them be afraid. It goes on to say, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now, isn't that plain? That means don't permit yourself to be any of those four things. Fearful, intimidated, cowardly, or unsettled. I don't know what to do. Now, you couldn't understand what I said, right? That's unsettled talk. Romans 8, verse 15 through 17. I'm just setting a foundation of scriptures that we need to establish in our faith's focus. Romans 8, 15 through 17, New Living Translation. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Now, other translation says bondage again to the fear. That means fear binds you. Fear grips you. Fear will imprison you and paralyze you like a slave. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now you call him what? Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirits to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share his suffering. Now I'm going to read to you a segment of a teaching letter partner I got from Dr. Rick Renner. We studied one of his books last summer, How to Keep Your Head on Straight in a World Gone Crazy. And he just sent this letter this past week, and it says, he says, He said, today I want to share with you about how we must and how we must not respond to the events happening in society around the world right now, happening in the society world right now. He said, I am convinced that part of this worldwide assault has been the devil's attempt to put believers in fear so that they will retreat from this worldwide advance of the gospel. Now, remember, our call and commission is more so than any time in our church's existence or in Christianity's existence is to be the church and to build his church by his help and grace. But what keeps people prisoned, paralyzed, poisoned, in panic, fear, F-E-A-R. He goes on to say, although we need to be wise and do what we can to protect ourselves in times such as these, we do not need to react in fear. Fear is never the answer. Everybody say, fear is never the answer. It results in blurred thinking and bad decisions. Now let's read my last scripture I have for you today, this morning, foundational scripture, opening scripture, 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Reading out a New Living Translation. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. He says this, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Look at verse 7. For God has not given you a spirit of fear. Now this gift is correlated to the spirit and spiritual things that God has deposited within each of us as Christian believers, born again Christian believers, and Christ followers. Now this gift is not to be misused or abused. This gift is to be used. For it's used to advance the gospel, to expand the kingdom, to do a work for God. Now, but reason people don't stir up the gift is because they're afraid or cowardly to step out in that gift. You've been called to pray, and some people are paralyzed and in panic mode or too stressed out or stunned to pray. You've been called to serve. People are paralyzed and too stressed out and too situationally intoxicated to serve. They are not in their right mind and right heart. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Or other translations say, a sound mind. Now listen to what Dr. Rick Grinner says, a sound mind. He said, God's word promises us a sound mind if we will claim it. So all of us should be claiming God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and what? Sound mind. So today I have a sound mind. I'm not out of my mind. I'm not crazy. I'm not stressed out. I'm not going into panic mode. My heart's not beating out of my chest because of fear and high blood pressure. Come on now. I have a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ and hold the thoughts and feelings and purpose of his heart. Everybody say, I have a sound mind. See, this verse says that God has given us a sound mind. This phrase comes from the Greek word sophroneo. I can spell it, but I'll belabor the time. It's compound of the word soso and phroneo. The word soso in the Greek word is for salvation. It means deliverance, protection, and soundness. The word phroneo is the root word for mind. These two words put together are as they are in this verse. The new word is translated sound mind. The idea presented by the word sophroneo is a mind that is saved, protected, a mind that is sound. It's just the opposite of mind given to fear. It's just the opposite of a mind given to fear, panic, and unfounded and unreasonable thinking. The word describes a mind that is thinking correctly. So you can't think correctly when your mind's silly. You can't think correctly when your mind is selfish. You can't think correctly if your mind is sinful. You can only think correctly when your mind is sound. See, when you're in fright, you're unsound. But when you have a willingness to fight, you get a sound mind. So let's get ready and prepare to fight. Fright is the word that means fear excited by sudden danger or alarm. I was talking to someone last week, and they said, you know, they feel like they've been stunned or in panic or just paralyzed for 2 or 3 days. We shouldn't be that way. See, some of the synonyms of fright means frightened, horrified, panic, scare, shock, startle, or terrified. Terrified. Perhaps more than ever, it's a great time to remember Jesus' words, fear not. Everybody say, fear not. There's 365 fear nots, be not afraid, don't be afraid verses in the Bible. Everyone should be on the fear not prescription, where you take the prescribed medicine of every day I won't fear. Every day I acknowledge that God has not given me what? The spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. And to have faith in God. Mark 11:22 tells us to have faith in God, not have faith in the government, not have faith in anything else. We pray for them, but don't put your faith in them. Don't put your trust and hopes in other things or other people. Put it in God. See, fear takes on different forms and manifestations through people. Some Christians and believers and Christ followers yield to worry and anxiety. Now, some people get real big and real boastful about the fact that I don't cuss, fuss, cheat, lie, steal, and run with those that do. But they worry themselves sick. They can't even sleep because they're eating the bread of sorrows. Or they're crippled with cowardice because of shame and or regret. Those are fear-based, fear-dependent behaviors. Stress and panic. Others live in doubt and evil-hearted unbelief about God, his great love, and his everlasting tender mercies, his promises, and his peace. See, all this is fear-based and fear-dependent. You know, just think about it. We just talked about tithing. Why do people don't tithe and give? They're afraid. Fear is at the root of withholding and not giving. See, all sin, all shame, all sorrow is fear-based and fear-dependent. Now, some people say, well, I'm not going to smoke dope or drink or do drugs or something like that. You might not do that, but if you're doubtful, if you're fearful, you're just as bad as a person coming in drunk or as a person coming in on drugs. I'm not getting too amen. I'm glad my wife is standing, my first lady is standing right here supporting me. Praise God. Fear, we said it's false evidence appearing real. Faith, we say, is full assurance in the heart. Fear is meditating and mesmerizing on the lies of the devil. Fear is a paralyzing, insidious spirit that neutralizes and negates our faith, your focus, and your fight. You won't fight when you're in fear. Because you're afraid, I'm going to get beat up. I'm going to get beat down. I'm going to get broken off. See, when fear is manifested, your faith gets contaminated and your fight gets canceled. Your spirit of fight, the good fight of faith, gets canceled. Here's a beautiful scripture I want to introduce you, reintroduce to some, and remind others of moving from fright to flight, because this is a big one. God dealt with me about this very strongly this week. He said, most people aren't running out doing bad things. They're just bothered and burdened with worry and care. He said, that's as big of a problem, and it's bad as pride itself, because it is pride. When you're carrying loads of care that you don't have to carry and you shouldn't carry. 1 Peter 5:5-9. Listen to this. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to one another. Be clothed with for God with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to who? Who gets the grace? So you don't have the grace. You're actually standing juxtaposition or contradictory to or in conflict with the grace of God. Why? Because of pride. Now look at the context of what he's talking about. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Now what does it mean to be sober? That's a mind thing. That means don't walk around like a silly drunk. Now, most people say, well, I'm not drinking, Pastor. I understand that, but you're drunk on yourself, on your problems, on your pain. Your mind is filled with your problems and the pressure you're under. Your mind is not filled with peace. You're not sober. He said, be vigilant and be on guard. Vigilant means watch. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, that means he's an opponent, he's a foe, he's one who is arrayed against you. Your adversary, that word also means, technically speaking, your prosecuting attorney. Your prosecuting attorney. In other words, he's there to find accusation. He accuses you, and he accuses you before God. Now, how does he accuse you and me? With thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. He said, man, you ain't going to get blessed. You don't, that ain't going to never change. You're never going to have enough money. And so we meditate and become mesmerized by the lies of the devil, and we take the thoughts. We consider the ideas. The evil ideas. They didn't come from God. They didn't originate out of heaven. They originated out of hell. And the suggestions that he gives you. And we'll walk around just defeated in the mind. And we said this before. If he defeats you in the mind, he will defeat you. See, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, who is it? Diablos, the one that's trying to punch, the one that's trying to penetrate, the one that's putting pressure on you through a spirit of fear. Devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may, what? Devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, these scriptures reveal three practical steps to move from fright and be prepared and fit to fight. Number one, the first step is submission. Look at verse 5. Submit to your elders. That means submission is not subjugation, friends. Some people think it's a cuss word or a bad word in church or in life. So submission is not subjugation. Submission is the key to power. In other words, it's difficult to be in authority if you're not under authority. Some people want authority and they want power, but submission is the key to power. Instead of bucking up, some people have to bend low and bow down before God. in submission, in willing submission. Somebody say glory to God. If we're willingly and respectfully submit to the Lord and those appointed over us in the Lord. Amen. We get power. In other words, the authority, the right, the authority in the Greek means right, authority, right, and privilege. That means the right to command and control things. You lose your right to command and control things and the privilege, particularly demons, evil spirits, and devils that are coming after you and trying to torment your soul when you're not under authority. Number two, humility. This is the next step. We call it the humility three-step. Because you need to get to a place of humility. How often, Pastor? Every day. And in every way that comes against you, contradictory to God's will and God's word in your life. Let's just say a financial challenge, which many people can relate to. Financial comes into your front door, knocks on your door. Hey, I'm here again. I'm here to strip you of all your wealth, your health, all your finances. I'm here to drain your bank accounts. I'm just using an analogy. Well, if you think I know this or I know how to handle this, then you're not in humility, you're in pride. Because Peter tells us, even if we think we know it, we're to humble ourselves. Humility is the key to promotion and making progress through that trial or that trouble and not being paralyzed and penalized through that trial and trouble. Humility is the key to promotion. Each Christian believer and is in charge of their own humility department. That's not my job. That's not the pastor's job. That's not your parents' job. That's not your partner's job. It is your job. You got to humble yourself. When you get to a situation and say, well, I can just handle this. I can do this on my own. I can take care of it. I'll just make a way myself. No, then you're in pride. You need to demote yourself, humble yourself. We can't assume. Or we can't even ascertain, I know this, I got this, I can handle this. And then you start putting pressure on people and pressure on other things when you're under pressure of the circumstances. Hallelujah. See, if you wish to be promoted by God, how does God promote? He uses the trial. He uses the trouble to help you cross over to the other side. That means you've made spiritual progress. That means you get a spiritual promotion. Can everybody see the illustration? It's like you walking across a bridge. But if you don't humble yourself, if you don't humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, what happens? You get paralyzed and stay there because you're in pride. Or you trying to stay up all night trying to figure out and calculate the numbers and how to make them work. Well, praise the Lord. See, the humble gets the grace from God. And grace helps us deal effectively with the evil tendencies. Listen to me. I'm telling you the evil tendencies. I'm not talking about running around, cheating, adultery, fornication, doing drugs, whatever that kind of things that we think this is a bad list. This is a bad list. The evil tendencies of pride, selfishness, and fear. Look at what James 4, 6, and 7 says in the Amplified Classic. James 4, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Amplified Classic. It says, but he gives us more and more grace, the power of the Holy Spirit, to meet this evil tendency. And all others fully. So maybe you have a tendency to quickly stress out or struggle with financial challenges. That's an evil tendency because you're not supposed to look at that situation and and come to the conclusion that this is my source, that this is the source and ultimate source and complete summary of my life. Because you serve a God who's more than enough. You serve a God who is Jehovah Jireh. He sees ahead and sends provision. You serve a God who is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. You serve a God who promised you he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on now. He promised you that he will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So the evil tendency is to start stressing out and struggling with the idea that we're going to run out. We're going to come up short. God's not going to come through this time. Who's telling you that? But see, if you allowed him in your mind, remember, if he can defeat you in the mind, the devil can defeat, he can defeat you. In other words, his word devil, diabolos, is the one that describes one trying to penetrate or punch or put pressure to make a way or make a road or a hole. And what is he trying to? He's traveling one road, one way, and that's the ground of your mind. So if he can get to your mind and get through to your mind, then he can get you. That's why you need peace. See, when you have peace, it's a garrison or a guard. It's like a huge impenetrable fence around your mind and your heart. Because you didn't get second-class peace. Jesus told us what? I give you my very own peace. I bequeath my very own peace to you. Now, he said, look at this again. But he gives us more and more grace, the power of the Holy Spirit, to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. So if you got a tendency to lie real quick, you got a tendency to even be lazy when you need to get up and get things organized and set in order in your house. Some of us have a tendency to blow things off. And some of us have a tendency, an evil tendency, I don't want to hear bad news or don't tell me anything negative. Because they can't handle information. That means you got kind of a weak spirit and soul. You're in fright mode. You're not in fight mode. Y'all getting something out of this? This is why he said God sets himself against the proud. Man, the haughty. And gives grace continually to the lowly, those that are humble enough to receive it. So be subject to God, resist the devil, and stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. We said evil last week. Evil is anything or anyone that takes you away from God's intended plans and purposes for your life. Evil is anything or anyone. So if they're taking you away from God's intent, if they're keeping you from tithing, if that situation is keeping you from tithing and giving and being generous, if that situation is keeping you from obeying God's word or obeying God's will for your life, it's evil to you. You know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, he told us to walk circumspectly. That means accurately, purposefully, wisely. So we're to walk and live accurately, purposefully, wisely. He said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now let me break that down for you. When you don't give God your time so that he can help you redeem it, then your days will become evil to you. That means the devil's going to squander and kill your time. And you look up and I spent 3 hours playing this game. I spent 2 hours wasting time looking at this show. Well, let me keep going. I don't want to. See, God our Father never intends for us to live and languish in fear and fright. Every day we're supposed to say, Lord, I'm yours to command and control and commission. In other words, Lord, I'm yours. Use me as you choose. I choose to do your will. I choose to do what you want. See, the bottom line is to go up, you have to get down. You have to get down with humility. Praise God. Number three, step number three, casting your cares. See, giving your worries, anxieties, and fears to God and not keeping even one of them. I'm going to keep this because some of us are worried about our children and grandchildren. That's why we gave you the prayer of consecration and dedication. Why? To alleviate you from keeping them in your mind and putting them in God's hand. That's the safest place where they can be, in God's hand. Some of us try to keep them under our hand of control and constant connection so we can manipulate. Amen. Hallelujah. All that's fear behavior. You're actually imputing and imparting fear into your family. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Casting your cares upon the Lord is the key to the promise. What promise? Peace. Born again believers and Christ followers can take their worries and anxieties to God in prayer and discover what? The peace of God. That's how you're to be led. That's how you are to live. In peace. From peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My very own peace now I bequeath to you. That means it's already been transferred in you, through your covenant with Christ and your connection and commitment to him. You have access to his peace. Now, if you're not living in that promise and that provision of peace, then it's not God's fault. It's yours. See, God also promised something even better. The God of peace himself. Throughout the New Testament, we see, well, the God of peace will be with you. My goodness, you not only get the product and the force of peace, you get the God of peace. Hallelujah. His protection, his provision, his presence, his comfort, his encouragement. So you don't have to go around crying and belly aching on everybody's shoulder, talking about how hard it is, how the struggle is real, how rough it is, because you have the God of peace himself, who you can do what? You can take your cares and worries and fears to him, give it to the Lord, and then he says, come here, I'll give you encouragement, I'll give you comfort, come on now, I'll give you my presence, I'll give you my protection. You don't have to worry. You don't have to care. Because he says, I'm there. I'm here. See, when the problem is worry, the prescription is prayer. It's proper thinking and proper responses. In other words, we fight. We don't stay in fright. Philippians 4:6. Do not worry about anything. Is that plain? Is that plain enough? Don't not worry. Instead, pray about what? Everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Hallelujah. Thank him for, woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, just thank the Lord right now. He said, don't worry about anything. Now, worry will make you sick and worry will kill you. Worry is temporary atheism. One of the Latin Vulgate renderings, it says worry is atheism. It's like God never exists, doesn't exist in your life temporarily. In other words, you act like God is gone far, far away. When he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never, what, forsake you. Psalms 55, verse 22, listen to this and amplify. Cast your burdens on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will what? Sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. God won't. He won't allow you to be moved, slip, fall, or fail. Praise God. Somebody say, thank the Lord. Now, let's look at 1 Peter 5, 7 again through 9. I'm going to read out of the King James and then the Amplified. Listen to this. Casting all your care. Have you cast all your cares? Now, listen to me very closely, friends, and those online. If you're carrying your cares, you're in pride. You're not in humility. Don't play false humility. Like, God, help me, please. God, help me, please. And he says, you know, you're carrying that care. And what does he do? He opposes, he frustrates, and he defeats the proud. You want God opposing you? Don't carry it. He said, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, this is why, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom you resist steadfast in the faith. That means you got to fight. You can't stay in fright. Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished of your brethren that are in the world. Listen to the Amplified classic. It's casting the whole of your care. All of your anxieties. All of your worries. All of your concerns. Now, some people misinterpret this. They think, on my husband, on my wife. He said, oh my God, once and for all, on who? On him. Because not hurting people hurt other people. So some people are so heavy and hurting with pressure and problems that they spew up and spit up on other people. We're not equipped to handle your load. But God is. Amen. Once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sound mind, sober mind. And be vigilant and cautious at all times, for the enemy of yours, the devil, roams about like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith. Against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. Now, my favorite animal, even when I was growing up, even to this day, my favorite animal in the jungle, animal kingdom, is the lion. I was always fascinated by it. You know, both our boys grew up on Lion King. She did too. My wife did too. But so here's some facts about lions. Simple facts. It's in what is called a savanna in the jungle, African continent particularly. The male lion roars on one end of the savanna. Now this is a strategy. So the male lion. The animals and all the people can hear the roar sometimes, and they say you can hear a lion roar up to 5 miles long in distance. I mean, he's mighty. He's the king of the jungle. That's why it's called the Lion King. No, I'm just kidding. So he's 5 miles long. So meanwhile, the female lionesses, if you saw the Lion King, you know, the hyenas that took over for a minute, the Pride Land, that time they called it, the lionesses were responsible for the honey and the food supply. Same today. The lioness, because they were slimmer, more nimble, quicker, more subtle, they could hunt better. So the lionesses, the female lions, were put in charge of the hunters. They're the hunters. They waited at the other end of safari. So the lions over here roaring. And the animals are afraid, running away from the roar. I'm submitting to you today that we need to run to the roar. Now listen to this. So they come here, but the lionesses are over here waiting and hiding for those prey and fearful animals to come jumping through, and they would just pounce upon them. And they say, we got dinner, we got lunch, we got leftovers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they would capture field for prey who are running away from the roar of the male lion because his roar was so intimidating. See what the devil's doing today. And see, I had a dream about a roaring lion not too long ago. The Lord told me to tell it again. And I was in a dream, and I was, and me and this two other guys were in the dream, and man, we heard the lion roar. And we said, oh, and we saw the lion coming. And so in my sharp mind, I was trying to defend, and I was putting up a piece of wood to try to block it. He would just bust that wood. He would, you know, put up other things, try to fight the lion off. And this is a vivid wrestling. I'm just dreaming that you sweat and your heart rate's going real high. You know what I'm talking about. And I heard the voice coming out of the clouds. We're in this narrow alley, and this lion is attacking fiercely. He's roaring. And he said, Proverbs 28:1 came to me. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them. But the godly are as bold as a lion. This lion was pushing me back, and then all I had to do is go on the attack, put my foot down, and say, get! I'm not moving. But all this time, I was running away, fighting away, running in fright. And I wasn't standing up to fight. So I woke up, look, he said, you got fear that you've allowed to come in. And that fear has opened a door to Satan and sin. Amen. So some of the times we got to deal with the biggest low-hanging fruit around our life, which is the sin of worry. The sin of being fearful and cowardly. See, boldness is being fearless, courageous, and confident. See, in my dream, the vision and night experience I had, I was running backwards. I was retreating in fright until the word of the Lord came to me and said, stand up. Stand your ground and fight. Are you listening to me? See, I was thinking like a lamb. I thought I was one of those prey of animal. And so many Christians, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, are thinking like lambs and not like lions. Lambs want to play. Lions want to pray. Aren't afraid to pray. Let's go into the enemy's camp and take back my kids. Take back the strongholds that have been set up in the family. Come on, let's take back what the devil's been doing in my life and my finances. Amen. Be like David's mighty man and say, I'm going into the enemy's camp and I'm taking back what the devil has stole from me. Hallelujah. See, all lions want is peace and safety. They say, well, just pray for peace. All this stuff going on in the country. Let's just pray for peace. Let's just pray for peace. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Come on, if you're a lion, you're taking the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the lion of the tribe of Judah, and you said, I'm going to cut away and cut off the devil's works in my life. See, lion loves to fight because he know he's the king of the jungle. He's our double dog dare you to come at me. He roars and everybody runs. But the righteous are bold as a lion. We shouldn't be running from the devil, ladies and gentlemen. We should be putting the devil on the run. You got to run to the roar. Let me put it another way. The Lord interpreted that dream to me in this specific detail. And Brother Stephen remembers this statement. He said, you're living and playing to lose. He said, lambs live and play to lose. Lions play to win. Now listen to me. Proverbs 23:7 says it this way. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. We often say, what you think about, you bring about. See, we have to move from being defensive minded to offensive minded. That's why the Lord said, stand up. Go on the attack. And you'll move the enemy back. Hallelujah. Go on the attack and you'll drive the enemy back. And Brother Steve and I talk about prevent defense. You see it in basketball, you see it in football. What happens? They get a comfortable lead, and then what happens? They're scared to lose. And so they try to prevent defense. We'll let you get a few yards, let you get a few buckets, a few baskets, but we're going to try to play to keep from losing. You're playing out of fear. You're not playing to win. And too often, many of us have been playing out of fear. Trying not to lose, trying not to let go, trying to let everything fall apart. We're trying to hold things together with duct tape and bandages. No prevent defense. Think about it. Think about this one moment. Who goes to hell? I know it's a hard subject. Question to answer. But Revelation 21:8 says this, new NIV, it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, and those practice magical arts and idolaters and all liars, they will be co-signed to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, who was at the top of the list? Now, the King James, other translations, the fearful, some even say both, fearful, cowardly, and unbelieving. That means people that have no faith and people are full of fear. They're going to be the top left. These are the people God says, I don't want to hang around these guys for eternity. Now, most people say, well, the other list is really bad. The vile, the murderers, yeah, they should go to. Well, you know, sometimes we can be very judgmental, but we skip the first one. The first one on the list was cowardly. Top of the list were those who were cowards, fearful, and those who had no faith. In other words, these are the people who choose not to overcome. Because if you read the verse in context, the couple of verses, he said, he said, overcome. But he said, but the fearful. See, you don't overcome unless you got something to overcome. And see, when you fight the good fight of faith, you overcome your doubts, your fears, your phobias, however you want to label it, your fickleness, your evil tendencies. See, you don't use your faith to fight a flesh fight. Some people fight people. Always fighting with their kids. Always fighting against their family members. Always fighting against their boss. Always fighting against the system. You're in the wrong fight. You're actually fighting to lose. Whoo, glory to God. Let's look at the fight. We talked about this on the third. Let's go to Judges chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to confirm this. Because this is a big list. You don't want to be the one that says, oh, God said I'm full of fear. See, fear doesn't please God, especially when he didn't give you that spirit. And you're no longer a slave to fear. Judges chapter 7, Judges chapter 7, verse 1 through 9. Judges chapter 7, verse 1 through 9. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched besides the well of Haroth. And the host of the Midians were on the north side of them, and the hill of Mark and the valley, and the Lord said to get in. The people that are with thee are too many. Now, they had 32,000 people who volunteered to go with Gideon to fight against the Midianites. He said, to give me the Midianites in hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me. In other words, have pride. See how this is all connected? And he said, say, my own hand has saved me. Because when you say, I got this, I can handle this, I'm going to do this myself, this is what I'm going to do. You know, devil got shut down out of heaven and slapped down by lightning because he said, five I wills. I will exalt myself against the stars. I will put my throne against the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. And God says, no, you're not. Slam dunked him back on earth. He said, you'll be brought down to hell against the stars. See, pride will bring you down to hell. Fear will bring your faith down to fright. Are you listening to me? Look at verse 3. He says, therefore go to and proclaim to the ears of all the people, saying, whoever is what? Now, what was the first one? Fearful and afraid, let him return and depart. That means you ain't ready to fight. You're not fit to fight. You're full of fright. The fearful and the afraid. 22,000 friends walked away. 32,000 minus 22,000 equals what? 10,000 left. So I said, well, okay, they're all, Gideon said, there go all my church members. Most of my church members are gone. Okay, now he goes to verse 4, and he said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water and I will try them. This is the test of what? Fitness and readiness to fight. Are you fit? Are you ready? Now, here's the test. Simple test. He took them down to water, and he said what? Whoever gets down on their knees and watch my face now. They look down at the water and bring water up to their mouth, and they lap it like a dog, bound down like a dog licks a bucket of water. He said, they ain't fit, and they're not ready. Amen. And so you think about this. They were getting refreshment. What's wrong with that? But they placed themselves in a vulnerable position. And they were not susceptible to the enemy's movements. In other words, they had what we would call broken focus. Some people focus so much on getting their own, taking care of their own needs, they're not observant of what the devil's doing or other people's needs. They're not fit to fight. They're not ready. Now, remember, God labeled it and gave us an indication. They're like dogs. What are dogs like? They'll throw up anytime on anything. You know, my dog throwing up on my shoes, my house shoes, made me mad. So you could have waited a couple of seconds to let me get my feet in them to get you out of the house. But you puke up on my stuff, puked up on the side of the bed. He'll go out and use the bathroom and doesn't clean himself up real good and come and squish it all over the couch or not the couch, the floor. Spit up the water he drinks. You know, dogs are selfish, and they only think about who. So he said, who's lapping like a dog? Who's looking like a dog? See, Philippians 3:1 says, beware of dogs. Dogs will bite, bark, and they will do things just for their own benefit. He said, who's going to fight with me? Now, how many left? Everybody but 300. Now, the people that had squatted and brought the water up to their mouth but kept their head up were fit to fight. Are you listening to me? Now let's look at another example in Job. Go turn to the book of Job. Y'all getting something out of this? We're almost done. Closing it. Verse 19, it says, look at this. Job and them were accusing God, you know, talking out of the side of their neck. You know, Job was in fear and depressed, discouraged. His friends are trying to explain why he's in this situation. And they talking big time junk, and God has to step in, starts asking questions. Now, he uses six animal analogies, but one of them was the horse. This is where we pick it up in Job 39, verse 19. And he has given us, who has given the horse strength? Job can't answer that. As out clothed his neck with thunder. Have you seen sometimes the majesty of a horse? Its mane, its thunder, it's dropping out there. And he says, you give his neck, can thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? That means a horse doesn't have fear. The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paveth the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes on to meet the armed men. In the old school wars, you know, horses and chariots were a big deal. You know, Jesus is coming back on a horse. And see, the horses are prepared and been made for battle. He said he mocks at fear and is not affrightened, neither turns back from the sword. The quiver raileth against them, the glitter spear in the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness of rage, and neither believeth he that is sound in the trumpet. He said among the trumpets, ha, 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 he smelleth the battle afar off. That means he smells the fight and he's ready to go. The thunder of the captains and the shouting. And you find horses, you know, particularly when they had those spears or they had the swords, those horses will charge right in there. They won't stop. They'll say, that guy will crack the whip, and they'll just run right into the fight. They'll run right into the battle. God is looking for people that will run to the roar and run into the fight. Horses love fights. Timothy 6:12 tells us, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, for which you are also called and have confessed a good confession for the presence of many witnesses. We said it before, if good were easy, it wouldn't be a fight. Why is it a good fight? It's a fight you win. But the faith fight is the only fight you need to be in. It's the faith fight that overcomes your doubts, your fears, your evil tendencies. Because faith gives access to the empowerment of grace. And grace helps you deal by the power of the Holy Spirit with your evil tendencies. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back from what? Living by faith, my soul shall have no pleasure. See, living by faith, friends, does not involve quitting and going backwards in fright. The only option to not fighting this year, 2021, and the good fight of faith is to be destroyed and defeated. I hope no one chooses that option. There's no such thing as unchallenged faith, we said. And there's a true sign that we're in faith. And that sign, first and foremost, is discomfort. Like we said, the first Sunday of the new year, we have to consecrate and dedicate ourselves to face determined opposition. You know, even this week coming up, a lot of things happening, but we have to consecrate and dedicate ourselves to face determined opposition. The devil's not going to just open the door and say, well, you can fulfill the will of God. You got to move from fright to fight. In other words, we have to move from, it's our decision to fight or not. Living by faith entails and involves fighting. Look what Timothy said as I close. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. Now think about it, his epitaph, his last words. He says, I fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Praise God. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.